If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Former Vice President Mike Pence recently spoke at a Lincoln-Reagan dinner in New Hampshire about the January attack on the Capitol. He didn't intend to, but that's just how flashbacks work.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to writer and comedian Quinta Brunson, whose book She Means Well is available now. But first, a closer look.
Donald Trump reportedly believes he'll be reinstated in the White House as some of his allies and supporters openly call for a coup and Republicans work to rig future elections. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Well, many things have happened in the last week or so. A former national security advisor suggested a coup should happen in the U.S. A Democratic senator came out against a crucial election reform bill for extremely dumb reasons. Rudy Giuliani did a MyPillow ad during a video on UFOs, which makes sense since he always looks like he just got dropped off by one. They squeezed my head until ink came out and then dropped me off on the side of a New Jersey turnpike. So all in all, not one of my crazier days. So it's been a crazy week, but we've been on hiatus and it's Monday, so we're going to talk about the pants. This weekend, we all had to briefly ask ourselves, did Donald Trump put his pants on backwards? Which, to be clear, he did not. But still, if you opened Twitter at all this weekend, and I didn't because I take Twitter off my phone when I'm on hiatus so my children have my full attention. And if you're wondering, is my life better without Twitter? Well, no, because I didn't find out until this morning that people thought Donald Trump maybe put his pants on backwards. And again, let's be clear, he did not put them on backwards, which is good for Trump because it would be very embarrassing to be the first president to put your pants on backwards, as opposed to what he is, the first president where everyone believed it was at least possible, where even his own supporters had to say, no, see, look, those are pleats, right? But again, would it really shock you if a guy whose pants look like this couldn't figure out how to put them on the right way? I mean, look at how baggy they are. Those aren't pants. They're an escape room. If you tied Trump to a mast, you could win the America's Cup. It's like if MC Hammer made business pants. And yeah, that's a dated reference. But in the Myers family, it is always hammer time. And yep, I did want a sample from You Can't Touch This to play right there, but I was given a hard no by the penny-pinching NBC execs who didn't let me have anything nice. And I even said to them, if This Is Us wanted to play You Can't Touch This, you'd let them. And they said to me, stop. Hammer time. And again, no. So you can rest assured the former president of the United States and commander-in-chief of the armed forces, the man who for 4 years single-handedly controlled our nuclear arsenal with the power to destroy all life on Earth, knows how to put his pants on. Professional fact-checkers have now confirmed it. Snopes looked through photographs taken at the event and published by the visual media company Getty Images that clearly show the former president on stage wearing pants with a zipper in the front. And I love that this country has gone so crazy that Snopes has started to sound like a weary substitute teacher. No, he didn't have his pants on backwards. And no, you're not allowed to smoke weed if you finish the quiz early. Also, did no one consider the possibility that Trump was wearing pants with a zipper in the front and the back? That is absolutely an idea that should be on Shark Tank. And if it hasn't yet, I call dibs. I'm going to start calling myself the My Zipper Guy. And yeah, I'm going to grow a mustache and start talking like that. The best thing about our pants is with a zipper on both sides, you're not going to spend the whole day thinking, oh boy, I hope I didn't put these on backwards. Now to me, this dumb pants conspiracy theory was far more interesting than what Trump actually had to say at the rally, which I'm not going to bother to get into because it was the same deranged bull he's been spouting for months about the election. At this point, he really needs to zip it front and back. But what we do know is that it's apparently more than just propaganda aimed at dismantling democracy. Trump reportedly genuinely believes that in a matter of months, he'll somehow be reinstated as president.
The New York Times' Maggie Haberman is reporting that Donald Trump has been telling a number of people that he expects he will be reinstated as president by August.
What he's doing is echoing things that are being said by Sidney Powell, who was his lawyer, although, you know, he distanced himself from her at certain points over the final months of the administration, but she was helping advise him on these efforts to overturn the election last year. This is being said by Mike Lindell, the CEO of MyPillow, who has been pushing this for some time. He's echoing what they're saying.
If it weren't so dangerous, it'd be sad. He's putting around his golf course, telling people he's getting ready to go back to the White House like a guy who thinks his ex is going to take him back, even though she's already living with another dude. I'm telling you, once they get back from their honeymoon in Cabo, she's going to unblock my number and break up with Brad. She told me once that six-packs are actually kind of a turnoff. It's insane for many reasons, not the least of which is that Trump thinks he's about to be reinstated in the White House when he can't even keep a blog going. Last week, he shut down his blog after hearing from friends that the site was getting little traffic and making him look small and irrelevant. A post-analysis of the online data late last month found that the site was attracting fewer visitors than the pet adoption service PetFinder and the recipe site Delish. Wow, he's delusional and sociopathic, but somehow he's the only person on Earth who knows when it's time to shut down a blog. I mean, there are guys out there still writing about cheat codes for Metal Gear Solid. And having less traffic than PetFinder is a real burn for Trump because this is a man who hates pets. If he started a website, it would be called Pet Loser, where you could either, I don't know, call pets losers, or a service where people would show up in a van and help lose your pet. My kids love the dog, but I'm just really allergic. I don't need the reason. Just consider him lost. Get in the van. There's steak in there. Of course, it's not hard to imagine life without Trump's blog, considering the only noteworthy thing he did on it was call a horse a junkie. And even then, he used the wrong spelling of junkie. The noun more commonly ends in IE, not Y. If I made that mistake, I'd have to devote an entire segment to it where I slowly unraveled as I set the record straight. We'd call it corrections and put it online every Friday, and everyone in my life would tell me it's a bad idea, and I would respond to them, not as myself, but as a cicada. Even someone who's been underground for 17 years knows correction is a hit. Personally, I just can't believe the guy from The Needless has his own talk show now. You need help, man. You've got a problem. By problem, I hope you're not referring to my life expectancy. I'm gonna live forever. See, you thought. You dared think just because we took a week off, we were going to call back the cicada. Well, apparently, you haven't been watching this show for the past 15 months. We're nutty with callbacks. I basically spent the entire hiatus working on my musical Cicada Cicada. It stars Christine Baranski as the cicada, Harvey Fierstein as the cockroach, and Nathan Lane as whoever the f*** he wants to be. We're currently looking for financial backers, but you should probably steer clear if you hate making money. I'm going to be so rich off My Zipper Guy and Cicada Cicada, you will definitely be hearing MC Hammer Saples. Just not yet. I got to be honest, My Zipper Guy is not going well. Costs a fortune to put two zippers on pants. Now, it's easy to dismiss all of this as the collective delusion of a bunch of fringe loons. And yeah, you know, maybe not the best idea to call someone else a fringe loon after that long cicada tangent, but, you know, what's done is done. And it's true that Lindell and Powell and the like are not exactly power brokers. Powell had to admit in court that reasonable people wouldn't believe the stuff she says. And Lindell just got dumped by his law firm one day after filing an insane lawsuit against voting machine companies. It also wouldn't surprise me if one or both of them pronounced it coop. But while these people are obvious cranks, it's also worth remembering that Michael Flynn was actually the national security advisor. And on top of all that, we also just found out that for weeks after the election, Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows, was still trying to get the Justice Department to use the levers of government to subvert the election and keep Trump in power.
New emails show that in the last weeks of the Trump administration, then Chief of Staff Mark Meadows pushed the Department of Justice to investigate conspiracy theories about the election. That revelation, according to New York Times report, shows Meadows repeatedly asked acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen to look at claims of fraud in the 2020 election. One email requested the DOJ investigate a fantastical theory that people in Italy had used military technology and satellites to remotely tamper with voting machines in the U.S. and switch votes for Trump to votes for Joe Biden.
All right, that's a new one. The chief of staff for the president of the United States thought Italy might have used satellites to tamper with voting machines. For one thing, have you ever been to Italy? If you ask them to tamper with an election in November, they might get around to it by March. Don't get me wrong, I love Italy. I took my wife there for our honeymoon, and we're still waiting for our check. Seriously, these insane GOP conspiracy theories are starting to sound like election truth or Mad Libs. In Arizona, they're looking for bamboo in the ballots because they think they were smuggled in from China. And now we find out the former chief of staff thought the election was stolen by Italian satellites. In fact, this insane theory got so far in the White House that, according to the Times, an email to another Justice Department official indicated that Mr. Rosen had refused to broker a meeting between the FBI and a man who had posted videos online promoting the Italy conspiracy known as Italygate. The Italygate is like the Stargate, except instead of interstellar travel, it just dumps you behind some Vespas on a cobblestone street and you have to fight through a cloud of pigeons to make your way back. Or even worse, the Italy Gate leads you to Rudy's apartment. Oh no, not more aliens. The last one took my neck for experiments and forgot to put it back on. Italy Gate sounds like the last booth on the toll plaza in New Jersey. It's cash, easy pass, and the Italy Gate, where you just loudly negotiate. I'm only making a quick errand here. Give me a break. Stop your honking! Then get easy pass! So Democrats must take stock of the fact that this is the Republican Party they're dealing with, a Republican Party whose most powerful figures are disseminating insane conspiracy theories about the election, calling for coups, trying to use the levers of power to subvert elections, and whose functionaries are trying to weaponize those lies as we speak, by turning them into voter suppression laws. At least 14 states have enacted GOP laws, making it harder to vote. And Republicans who sought to overturn the last election are vying for positions as election officials in multiple states, which would put them in charge of the next election. It is insane and dangerous for obvious reasons. It's like going to a salon run by Ted Cruz. We can either trim your beard or we can take the clippings from the floor and glue them to your face. In fact, the Republican Attorney General in Texas just bragged to Steve Bannon that if he hadn't made it harder to vote by mail in 2020, Trump might have lost Texas, too.
Trump won by 620,000 votes in Texas. Harris County mail-in ballots that they wanted to send out were 2.5 million. Those were all illegal, and we were able to stop every one of them. Had we not done that, we would have been in the very same situation. We would have been on election night. I was watching election night, and I knew when I saw what was happening in these other states that that would have been Texas. We would have been in the same boat. We would have been one of those battleground states that they were counting votes in Harris County for 3 days, and Donald Trump would have lost the election.
They're not shy about it. They're just admitting it. For people who believe in a bunch of secret conspiracies, they're sure bad at keeping their actual conspiracy secret. It's like if in the last Bond film, Blofeld just confessed to his plan in the first 5 minutes of the movie, and then he and Daniel Craig spent the next 2 hours hemming and hawing about bipartisanship. James, the voters want us to work together to destroy the world. Yes. And, you know, I just can't wait to hear what all you correction hawks out there have to say about my Christoph Waltz impression. For those of you saying it sounds like Werner Herzog, you're too late. Snopes debunked that too. And yet there are still those Democrats who simply refuse to confront the reality of the threat to democracy we're facing. Arguably the loudest of those is West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin, who this weekend came out against a sweeping election reform bill passed by the House and said he refused to end the filibuster in order to protect voting rights from Republican attacks. And on Sunday, he offered a ludicrous defense of his view that so-called bipartisanship with Republicans was somehow possible.
By taking it off the table, haven't you empowered Republicans to be obstructionists?
I don't think so, because we have seven brave Republicans that continue to vote for what they know is right and the facts as they see them, not worrying about the political consequences. I believe there's a lot more of my Republican colleagues and friends that feel the same way. I'm just hoping they are able to rise to the occasion to defend our country and support our country and make sure that we have a democracy for this republic of all the people.
Senator McConnell, the head of the Republicans in the Senate, says that he's 100% focused on blocking the Biden agenda. Question, aren't you being naive about this continuing talk about bipartisan cooperation?
I'm not being naive. I think he's 100% wrong in trying to block all the good things that we're trying to do for America.
I mean, do you hear yourself, though? You don't think you're being naive, but you also think Republicans will rise to the occasion? These people think the election was rigged by Hugo Chavez, bamboo ballots, and Italian satellites. It sounds like a "We Didn't Start the Fire" remix. All they're missing is a theory about how dead people like Buddy Holly and Ben-Hur voted for Biden using ballots smuggled in by space monkeys and the mafia. Bamboo ballots smuggled in. Cicadas are back again! Manchin and others like him have to get real about the threat to democracy posed by Republicans, and his fellow Democrats have to put more pressure on him to confront that reality and do something about it. Otherwise, if Republicans get their way, there's a good chance that come the next election, you'll only be allowed to vote if you own a
My Pillow.
This has been... I feel like somebody should have told Maggie, like, you're the closer, have a little more life to it. You know? This has been A Closer Look.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Our guest is a very funny comedian and actress you know from her viral videos and a black lady sketch show. Her book, She Memes Well, is available June 15th. Please welcome to the show, Quinta Brunson. How are you, Quinta?
Hey, Seth.
I'm so happy to have you here. Congrats on the book. The title and the book itself is sort of about your entry into show business, which is based on the fact that you did something that became a very popular meme.
Yes. Yeah, I did a video. It was a sketch, but people thought that it was real, and it became a very popular meme. It was me saying he got money at a movie theater to a man who bought me some popcorn and Skittles. So.
For those who might not know, here's the meme,
and
I've certainly seen it as well. But how did you, because you mentioned it was a sketch, and obviously you wrote this sketch, you performed this sketch. You probably assumed that people would engage with it as a sketch. And yet it becomes a meme. And how did you find out that it had taken off that way?
I found out when my friends sent me the meme to express that I had become famous and so I had money. But that wasn't the case. I was not any of those things. But I shared it at the time when Instagram wasn't even a sharing platform. It wasn't the digital sharing platform that it is now. It was just, someplace you could post photos of yourself, and they had just gotten video. So I posted that just playing around, and then it blew up.
Yeah, so you never got, the meme people never gave you a kickback on how often you were being used.
No, you had no control over that once it happens.
But you make the argument, and I think it's a very good one, that memes maybe are dismissed, but are a very nuanced form of communication.
Yeah, memes are, I compare them to like hieroglyphics, kind of. They're these pictures that we share that mean different things to different people. And I mean, one of my favorite memes is this meme of Oprah holding a can of beer and like toasting it to someone. I don't know the origin of the photo, but I use it for celebration. I actually used it in response to a tweet about this show. I'm happy I'm going to be here. But memes are a form of communication that shouldn't be dismissed because it's how an entire culture of people communicate.
Well, it's also, I think, it's sort of a three-dimensional, in many ways, form of communication where you're getting more across when you do it than you might do just by typing out words.
Yeah. Sometimes memes just say what I can't. It gives the emotion that I need to give that too many words would kill. Like now, I wish I could just give a meme.
We'll let you put a meme in and post if you want to tell us
what
show you
are. Thank you.
You talk a lot about your family in this book, and I'm always fascinated when I'm reading it. I want to know if the family that I'm reading about is reading it as well and how they are taken to this presentation that has been given to the world. Has your family read the book?
They have not. They will not. They're not allowed to. I let them purchase it because that helps you, you know. But no, actually, no, I kind of don't want them to read it. My parents don't like when I curse. It's a lot of cursing in the book. Mm-hmm. They don't like when I, you know, it's sex, drugs. I don't need them to read it. Honestly, I didn't even tell them about this show tonight. So let's keep that on the down low, NBC promotion team.
Now, if I will tell you, no matter what I thought, I feel like if I wrote about family, some of them would get out and buy it. Now, have you heard from anyone that they're going to do that?
I just, like, told them that, yes, the book is coming out in theory. I didn't tell them when or how. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, so they have to do some legwork at this point. If they want to
get it, you know, but I keep them in the dark about a lot of stuff. My mom, one summer, got obsessed with Issa Rae, just, like, the concept of her. But then I was like, she was like, I want to watch your show Insecure. And I was like, actually, Mom, that got canceled. That's not airing. So I just try to, you know.
Yeah,
I just
you
keep
did
saying,
a favor. I think you helped everybody on that side of the equation.
Exactly.
You talk about how everyone in your family has very beautiful names, yourself included. Do you want to share with us how your mom came up with Quinta?
Yes. So my mom came up with the beautiful name of Quinta by being too tired because I came too late in her life to think of anything else other than the number of the child I am. So I'm number 5. They found the name Quinta in a book. It just means 5. My brothers and sisters have, like, Prince of Faith, Princess of Africa, and I'm just 5, but I kind of like it. It gave me some freedom in life.
It's really nice. And I think birth order is really important, and you sort of present to the world exactly on introduction where you landed, which is nice.
You know, and I get to make up my own future. That's the difference between me and my brothers and sisters. They have a lot to live up to. I just have to be the number 5.
You talk in your book how you did deep research of SNL cast members. And you mention many by name. Each one, a dear colleague of mine. A lot of overlap with me and everybody you mention.
Right.
Nary Seth Meyers in the book.
Right.
Yeah.
So Seth, what had happened was... The thing was, I should have kept the book from you too. No, the thing was, is that, you know, I mentioned all of the, you're always on Weekend Update. And it's not that I didn't consider you an inspiration or anything. I was just talking.
Yeah, because guess what? I got money.
Seth, I think you're doing all right. You got a late night show. You don't need to mention in my
book. You did. I mean, you did say, you listed, I think, 8 of them and then wrote, and more. So. That gave me a ray of light.
You were there in spirit.
Thank you. I love people writing about early jobs. I think it's really helpful to people who want to break into this business to understand exactly what you have to say yes to. You said yes to something and then had a great amount of integrity in saying no to it as well.
Yeah, you're talking about the prank show?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I knew it was a prank show. I just knew.
So what happened? You answered a Craigslist ad?
So I answered a Craigslist ad when I was super broke. And it just said that we had to draw. That was it, which I could draw. I went to art school. I was like, I can do this. It was like $25 or $50. But I get there and there's this man in a toga. His toga that we're all drawing, but his toga starts to fall off and it reveals about a 3-foot penis. So I'm just looking around at everybody else like nobody else is seeing this. We're on a prank show. No one else is. So, you know, I just start clocking the room. I see the little spaces where cameras can be. Come on, I've done this before. I grew up watching Jamie Kennedy. I don't know why everyone else didn't. I knew we're in a prank show. So I tried to leave and, you know, a producer ran out after me and said, hold on, please don't leave. We need you. This is a prank show. I said, yeah, no, you guys aren't that good at it. This isn't a good prank. That's the main reason I didn't want to be in it. It was a bad prank. Like,
right.
But anyway, the producer tried to offer me more money. She got it up to 1,000.
Now, why did they want to give you so much money?
Because of my expressive face. So
they, in the end, like, even though you knew it was a prank, your reaction to it was just like money in the bank for the people that were cutting this together, right?
Yeah. And to this day, if those producers are watching, I feel bad. I mean, they could have maybe been the next Borat or something, and I ruined it. I'm really sorry
about
that.
So this is really impressive. You walked away. You said yes to this gig for $50. They got it up to 1,000, and it was not up to your level of prank, and you walked.
Yes, I walked, and I didn't want my first, appearance in the world to be girl grimacing at 6-foot penis. I didn't, want that to be my legacy.
Well, I think we're all lucky that you made that choice, and I think it was a very fine one. And congratulations so much on the book. Congratulations on everything else. It's really been delightful talking to you.
Thank you, Seth.
She Memes Well, right here, is available June 15th.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.